I want you to open your Bibles this evening, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this was one of those messages that the Lord has been stirring in my heart for quite some time. As I knew, as He was leading and guiding and directing me, and I was starting to understand the theme that I was going to have for the year of 2022. I want to be able to use the month of January to almost be just an introduction to this theme. And so you're going to hear me throughout the month of January just preach some messages that'll kind of introduce this theme. Last Sunday morning, we preached some messages that dealt with this theme from the book of Psalm. And then we also used the book of Habakkuk last week, the idea of renewing and reviving and refreshing us, asking God as we look back at what He's done in the past to be able to do things for us in the days that we live today. And so just the encouragement as we move into the year of 2022. And then this morning we looked at the prayer of Jabez and the man Jabez that's found there in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4 and the prayer that he gives to God as he cries out to God. And I believe that as we preach that message this morning, the thoughts that were given in that prayer that Jabez prayed would certainly be encouragements for revival and renewing and refreshing in our lives. Remember that little phrase that Jabez said in his prayer, "Enlarge my coast. Lord, help me to take advantage of more opportunities perhaps this year, more ways in which I can labor for you. I want to see more fruit, Lord. I want you to expand my coast, enlarge my coast. Help me to be productive and useful for the Lord. Help me to be more usable." That's a good word there, isn't it, right? Sometimes we haven't even made ourselves available. Let's make ourselves available so that God can use us. Let's be more usable this year, in the year of 2022. I was visiting this week one of the widows from our church, and they said to me, "I cannot believe that we are already in 2022. And I don't know if you would agree with that particular lady, but I think we would say that, man, it seems like 2021 went so quick, and we're in the year of 2022, and the Lord's timing just moves right along. We just have to be faithful to do what He'd have for us to do. And so let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And what I would like us to look at this evening, I want to use one particular verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that kind of stirred this message in my heart. But then I'm going to take the time to go back to some verses that come before this verse to be able to get to the main thought in the message this evening. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And look down at verse number 10, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse number 10. It says this, "Who delivered us from so great a death." Now, who is Paul talking about here when he talks about being delivered from so great a death? Well, he's talking about God, isn't he? Who delivered us from so great a death. Now, in the context of the passage, and we're going to get to this in just a moment, Paul is talking about some times of suffering and trial. As a matter of fact, there were many times in which Paul went through such great suffering, and we're going to notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 as well. He went through such great suffering that there were many times in which he probably thought that he would die. Think about the times that Paul went through the beatings that he went through, and the shipwreck that he went through, the various things that Paul went through in times of trial and suffering. It's almost as if physical death seemed certain. But wait a minute, let's make application of this in our lives spiritually as well. God has delivered us from so great a death spiritually, hasn't He? You think about how the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we read it, we quoted it this morning in Sunday school. Had a good time in Sunday school this morning preaching through some questions that we find in the Bible. And we use that verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Aren't you thankful that He took you from spiritual death and He made you alive? And what great rejoicing we have just from that verse in the Bible there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. But Paul says this, he says, "Who delivered us from so great a death." And then look at the next three words. And doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Did you notice the thought that Paul stirs our heart with here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10? That God is a God who has delivered in the past, and he is still delivering now, and he will do it in the future. What a God we serve, right? A God who has delivered in the past, a God who is currently delivering, and a God who will do it in the future. It reminds us of our theme, do it again, Lord. You've done it in the past. We know that you're a great and a mighty God who can do things now. But Lord, we're asking you to do it again. We're asking you to do it even in the future. Deliver us. Paul says, he's delivered me. And in the past, he is currently delivering me. And he will do it again. He'll do it in the future. And so Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in the first part of this chapter, Paul is addressing the trials and the sufferings that he has gone through. As a matter of fact, I want us to start reading in verse number 5. I told you we'd come back to some of the earlier verses in this chapter in just a moment. So in the first part of this chapter, he's dealing with all of the suffering and the trials that he has faced. Look at verse number 5, if you would. We'll pick up there. He says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Now, I'm going to come back to the end of verse number 5 here in just a moment because it's going to be important with the second thought that I'm going to give you. But here he's talking about his trials and his sufferings that he's gone through. Look at verse 6. "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Verse 7. "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life," Paul says. You're noticing in the first part of this chapter that Paul is talking about the trials and the suffering that he has gone through. But then he uses, there are some verses that he uses at the beginning of this chapter to also remind us of the comfort and the encouragement that we have when we go through hard times. Now let's pause and meditate on that for a minute. When you go through the trials and the sufferings and the hard times of life, isn't it true in our lives that we have the comfort and the encouragement of a God who is with us at all times? That's a blessing to us, isn't it? Notice Paul says that in verse number 3. If you'd look at that, we're going to notice what he means when he uses some of these words in verse 3. Notice it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." Now notice the end of this verse. "And the God of all comfort." Hey, we have a God who is a God of comfort, isn't he? You know, we had some testimonies tonight of some things that we have gone through that have been some moments of suffering and some moments of trial. I know Miss Joyce addressed the fact that she just recently lost her sister-in-law, and Brother Terry talking about what happened to his wife, and the losses that Brother Ron was talking about this evening. So we gave testimony of some suffering and some trial that we've had to go through. But again, the comfort of knowing that we have a God who is the God of all comfort. He's a God of encouragement. When we go through the trials and the sufferings of life. Now notice what verse number 4 says. I love verse number 4. "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And what a challenge that verse is, right? When we read verse 3, we saw the word comfort in there at the end of the verse. When we read through verse number 4, we saw the word comforteth. We see the word comfort again, and then we see the word comfort again. And then at the end of the verse, we see the word comforted. So that word comfort in some way, shape, or form is seen five times in just those two verses. And the word comfort that we notice and we recognize there in verse 3 and verse number 4 has a special meaning. It has a special thought. That word comfort has the idea of being called to one's side for the purpose of helping them. So God is a God who comes to our side to help us when we need it. Have you ever had a friend that's done that for you? A friend that has come along beside you. It almost gives us the idea of an advocate. An advocate. A person who comes along beside us to help us in our time of need. By the way, we also could think of the word comforter in the New Testament of our Bible, and that reminds us of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit who comes along. Remember Jesus said before he went to heaven, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to give you a comforter, one of the same kind, he said, one who's going to come along beside you and give you the comfort that you need when you need the help from the comforter. And isn't it great that we can find comfort from God? We can find comfort from God the Father. We can find comfort from God the Son. We can find comfort from God the Holy Spirit as well. But it's not just finding comfort in the person of God, but it's also finding comfort from His Word as well. His Word is a source of comfort, isn't it? As a matter of fact, I'd like you to hold your place there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and I want us to go to Psalm 119 for just a moment. Now, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter. I know it's a psalm, but it's the longest chapter in our Bible. And when you read through Psalm 119, you'll notice in a lot of different forms, a word for God's word is used. So when we look at Psalm 119 here in just a moment, we're going to see some words that are used for God's word. What did we say was a source of comfort? God's word is a source of comfort, isn't it? Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 119 and look at verse number 50 if you would. It says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It gives the idea again of making me alive or refreshing me or renewing me or reviving me. Hey, when you need comfort, who do you turn to? You turn to God, but you also turn to God's word. God's word is a source of comfort. Now, I know we've said it many times, but it is true. Folks that go through the trials and the afflictions and the sufferings of life without Christ, it would be very challenging, wouldn't it? But we can go through throughout the trials and the sufferings of life knowing that God is a God who is going to come along beside us and comfort us, and we have His Word to turn to as well. Then look with me, if you would, at verse 51. We're still here in Psalm 119. He said, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Hey, even when the enemy seems to be around me, and even when I feel like I have the trials and the sufferings of those that are around me, God, I can always turn to your word, and I can always find it to be a source of comfort. Then look at verse 52, if you would. He says, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Hey, if you want to be comforted, go to the Word of God. You wake up one day and you say, I kind of feel like the day seems to be hopeless, and maybe there's some discouragements along the path of the day, and maybe some moments in which I feel like I'm a little powerless to do what God would have for me to do. Find comfort and find encouragement from God's Word. That's what the psalmist says, doesn't he? I comforted myself from the Word of God. So in this chapter, Paul lays out for us some of his trials and his suffering that he faced. He also reminds us of the comfort and the encouragement he had through his God. And then we know we can find comfort and encouragement through the Word of God as well. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, Paul talks a lot about suffering. He talks a lot about trials. And he uses a word for suffering throughout this chapter that has a special meaning. The word that Paul uses for suffering has the idea of being confined or being under pressure. Have you had times in your life where you've gone through suffering and you've gone through trials and it's almost as if you feel like you're under pressure? And there's got to be some way that you can get out of this moment of trial and suffering. And of course, it is God that we go to. But we see that word suffering throughout this chapter and the meaning that we just gave you. And it's seen a couple different ways in this chapter. As a matter of fact, there's different words that are used for suffering in this chapter. I want to take you to those words. Would you look at verse number 4? I know we already looked at verse number 4, but notice in verse number 4 it says this: who comforteth us in all our tribulation. There's the word for suffering. Again, that word that has the idea of being under pressure, and he uses the word tribulation there to describe times of suffering and times of trial that we go through. The word tribulation. And then would you look at verse number 4, a little bit later in that verse, he uses another word to describe suffering. Look at verse number 4. He said, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any, notice the next word, trouble. That word trouble, which has the idea of being under pressure, the troubles of the trials and the moments of suffering that we go through. And then would you look down at verse number 8? Verse number 8, he uses that word again. Would you see it again in verse 8? For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. There's times of suffering and times of trial Paul is speaking about, and he uses that word tribulation, and then he uses that word trouble. He used another word for suffering in verse 5 and verse number 6, which is a way of, later on in the New Testament of our Bible, it's used in a way to describe the sufferings of the Savior. Look with me, if you would, at verse 5 and then verse number 6. It says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. By the way, I told you I would come back to that verse. And while we're here, let's look at the second part of that verse. Because remember, I was talking about the sufferings that we face and then also the comfort that we have. Notice he says at the end of the verse, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. What he means by that is this: the more you suffer, the more comfort he gives you. And that's an encouragement, isn't it? Hey, when the sufferings and the trials seem to be abounding, don't worry, God's comfort is there to abound as well. The more we suffer, the more we go through times of trial, God's comfort is there more and more. It increases in our lives. But notice what verse 6 says. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Now, he's used the word suffering in a couple different ways. When he used the word tribulation and he used the word trouble, it was a way for us to understand that word suffering as being under pressure. But then in verse 5 and verse number 6, where he uses the word sufferings, it has the same meaning that we see a little bit later on in the New Testament in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 11. I want you to look those up later. We won't take the time to look at them now. And then also in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1, where it talks about the sufferings of our Savior. The Savior went through sufferings, and Paul said, I'm going through sufferings as well. I'm going through times of trial and times of suffering as well in my life. So here's what I wanted to encourage you with tonight in the main part of the message this evening. I want you to see tonight in 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I want us to see some truths about suffering. I would say tonight that no one enjoys suffering. No one enjoys times where you go through times of trouble and trial. But the reality is we are going to have to face them, aren't we? So I think we see some truths in this chapter and some other portions of Scripture, some truths about suffering that I want you to understand tonight. The first one is this tonight. Number one, I want you to understand that God is the one who permits trials to come. God is the one who permits suffering in our lives. I don't want us to think of trials and suffering as an accident. Oh, that was just an accident. That was just something that happened. I want us to understand tonight by way of a truth about suffering that God permits the suffering we go through. Would you consider the story of Job? The story of Job, when the Bible tells us that the accuser of the brethren, Satan, came. And he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And then remember, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, he accused Job of only serving God because God had been good to him. And at first, God gave him, he permitted Satan to test and take Job through a series of suffering. He permitted him to put his hand on his family and on his possessions. And then eventually, he even allowed Satan to put his hand on the very life of Job. When Job had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, he went through moments of trial and moments of suffering that was not an accident, but instead it was something that God permitted him to go through. Now think about the book of Genesis. When you have a story, when there's a story in the book of Genesis of a man named Abraham and then a lady named Sarah and a son that God had promised he was going to give to Abraham and Sarah. And then God says to Abraham, "I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to go to the land of Moriah. I'm going to tell you of a mountain that I want you to go to, and I want you to sacrifice your only son." This was the son that you had been waiting for, the son that was the promised son. And as a matter of fact, you remember that Abraham had so much faith in God that we read in the New Testament of our Bible that he believed that if he would have taken the life of his son Isaac, God would have raised him from the dead. That's how much he had put his trust in God when God was testing Abraham. He permitted Abraham to go through that test, didn't he? Abraham raised the knife to slay his son. He was going to be the blood sacrifice and ultimately the burnt sacrifice. And then God, through his angel, stopped Abraham. He was testing Abraham's faith to see if Abraham would do it, didn't he? And then he looked and he saw that ram caught by its horns in the thickets. And that was the sacrifice that God had provided. But he put Abraham through that test, didn't he? He permitted Abraham to face that trial and face that test that he went through. Can I say this tonight about the times of suffering and trial that we go through? We are going to have three outlooks concerning our trial and our suffering that we go through. There's only three possible ways that we can look at our trials and we can look at our sufferings. Would you consider the three ways that we can look at the trials and the suffering that we go through? Number one, we can think of or look at our trials as just saying, well, that's all just by chance. That was just how that happened. That was all just a series of fate or a series of chance. And that's just why I've gone through the things that I've gone through. It's just by chance that it happened. Or there's a second way of looking at our trials and our suffering. We can say that we're in control of all of it. And it happened because we had control ourselves over the series of events that we had to go through. Now, if we look at our trials the first two ways, then the answer is always a hopeless answer, isn't it? And it'll lead us to giving up. But there's a third way to look at our trials and suffering, isn't there? The third way that we look at our trial and our suffering is that God is the one who's in control. He's the one who permits all things. I think that song, Miss Tiffany, I don't know for sure, so I hesitate to say for sure, but I think that song, "I Want to Be Faithful," I believe was written by Ron Hamilton. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but Ron Hamilton did write a lot of songs. You know, Ron Hamilton is the one we call affectionately, we call him Patch the Pirate, don't we? He lost his eye because of some sickness that he had in his eye. God did that and permitted that to happen, didn't he? You know, when we think about things that we go through in life, God permits it, doesn't he? It's not just by chance. It's not just because we're in control of it all of ourselves and we've just worked it out that way. It's because we serve a God who makes no mistakes and he's in control of our lives. He's sovereign, isn't he? And if we have that outlook on our trials and our suffering that we go through, then the answer becomes simple for us as Christians. We just learn to trust God, don't we? We just say, he's in control, so I'm going to learn to trust him, and I can even overcome my times of trial and suffering because I know he is there to be my helper. He's there to be the one that comforts me and encourages me. So we said this by way of our first point. We said that God permits suffering. Can we answer this question in this message? Why is it that God would permit suffering? Why would God permit us to go through times of suffering? Why would he have to have Job go through all of those, the challenges with the suffering and the trials that he had to go through? Why would he have Abraham take his son to a mountain there in the land of Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice on that altar? Why would God permit these things? I want you to turn to the book of 1 Peter, if you would. And I want us to try to answer that question tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1, and would you look down at verse 6 and verse number 7. And I want us to try to answer that question by not only using 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, but I also want us to turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where we just were. And I want us to answer that question. Why is it that God permits us to go through times of suffering? Number one, I want us to see it in verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Look at those three words there. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Those three words, if need be. God permits us to go through trials because there are moments in which trials and suffering is needed. It's important for us to go through moments of trial and moments of suffering. So why would we say God permits it? Why would we say it's needed? Well, look at what verse number 7 says. Verse number 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to present to you tonight a couple reasons why I think we are permitted to go through trials. Number one, they help us to grow. Trials help us to grow. Moments of suffering in our life help us to grow. We mentioned that this morning, didn't we? When Jabez was praying, Lord, enlarge my coast. He was asking God, Lord, help me to grow. And when you're growing as a Christian, you have to understand that trials may come as you're growing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it this way. It says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Can I say this when it comes to growth in our life? There are no shortcuts to maturity, are there? There are no shortcuts to maturity. God wants us to come forth as gold, and pure gold must go through the fire. And so if you ask that question in your heart and your mind, why does God permit trials? Why does he permit suffering? Well, number one, to help us to grow, to be more like him. And then number two, could I present this to you tonight? Why does God permit trials? So that we might keep our focus right. We might keep our focus on the Lord. Paul's secret during his times of trial was God. You know, when you go through times of trial, it helps you to get your focus off of you and it puts your focus on God, doesn't it? Why? Because you need him, don't you? And when we go through times of trial and suffering, when God allows that or when he permits that, we keep our focus on him. And I think it also helps us to praise him a little bit more. God, you helped me. God, you delivered me. God, you saw me through that. You comforted me. You gave me encouragement when I needed it. Praise. I want to praise you, God, for that. All the glory goes to you. And then I want you to consider this evening. Why do we go through times of trial? Well, it helps us to grow. It helps us to keep our focus right. And then I want you to notice, thirdly, it helps us to trust God more. It helps us to trust God more. When Job went through all of those trials, in Job chapter 13, Job said something that's very important for us to remember. Job said this in Job chapter 13. I'm going to read down in verse number 15 of Job chapter 13. He says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though God puts me through times of trial and through times of suffering, God, I will trust in you. Do you know when we have to trust in God, it reveals to us the fact that we are powerless without him, aren't we? We are helpless without him. We have an inability to solve our own problems. So guess what? We need God. We have to trust in him. Go back to where we were at in the passage of Scripture there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I want you to look, if you would, down to verse number 9 in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want us to notice what it says about our trust in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9, it says this, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." So who are we to trust in? We're to put our trust in God. And that is perhaps one of the reasons why God permits our trials, so that we can learn to trust in him. And then would you go back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4. I want to give you another reason why God permits trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4. It says, "Who comforted us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." What's another reason why God permits us to go through times of trial and suffering? Because it prepares us to be a comfort to other individuals. Now, have you ever had a time, answer this in your heart tonight, have you ever had a time in which you have gone through a trial that later you've heard that someone else is about to face that same time, that same type of suffering, that same type of trial, and you've been able to come along beside them and you've been able to be a comfort and you've been able to be an encouragement to them? Now, when I hear stories of individuals that I'm praying for that have cancer, I can't comfort somebody that's going through a time of cancer because I've already been through that. But some of you can. Some of you have been through a time of suffering like that in your life, and you say, "I can comfort somebody that way." Now, I might not be able to comfort somebody who's lost a particular family member, but there are some family relations that I would be able to comfort somebody because I've had to go through that. I've lost certain family members as far as relationships are concerned. Isn't it great to know that when we go through times of trial later on, it could be that God is preparing us to be able to be a comfort to somebody else? What a blessing to know that that's one of the reasons that God prepares us, God permits us, to go through times of trial and through times of suffering. Just as the Lord comforts us because he has already been there. He knows what it means to be human. He knows what it means to suffer. He knows what it means to be rejected and to be betrayed. He knows what it means to be poor and to be homeless. He knows what it means to be falsely accused and to be slandered. And so therefore, he can comfort us. And just as the Lord can comfort us because he has already walked the path that we walk today, we can be a comfort to others when we have already been there. And I encourage you tonight that it might be that God is putting you through moments of trial and through moments of suffering in your life because he wants to prepare you to comfort someone else. But then would you look back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 11. Look at the first part of that verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 11. Look at the very first part of the verse. I want to present to you another reason why God may permit us to go through times of suffering. He says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Trials and suffering promotes prayer, doesn't it? God may permit you to go through times of trial and through times of suffering because it drives you to prayer. Look, there are two very important words at the very beginning of verse number 11. It says this, "Ye also helping together." Those two words, helping together, have the idea of laborers who are under a burden together. And they're working together to get the job accomplished. Now, let's put that in the perspective of prayer. Laborers that are praying together, that are working together to get that request answered. Isn't that exactly what we do as a church family? God may perhaps put somebody through a trial. it drives them to their knees because they realize, I've got to pray, I've got to talk to the Lord. He's the one that can help me through all of this. And when we as a church family see them go through that time of trial, it drives us to our knees as well, doesn't it? We help one another together. I don't know how many times I've had people that have told me throughout my years of ministry, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for asking the Lord for help on my behalf. And I know, and they'll say this statement, I know it was the prayers of God's people that helped me through it. What were we doing? We were working together, weren't we? We were on behalf of one another. We were laborers who had a burden. And we were working together to see the job accomplished, or see the prayer request that we needed to pray for, to see the answer of prayer that we needed. It drives us to times of prayer. In Paul's letters that he wrote, and we know that Paul wrote so many letters in the New Testament of our Bible, in the letters that Paul wrote, there were at least 7 of those letters that Paul wrote where he mentioned his need for prayer. He was asking those churches, please pray for me. I need you to help me. I need you to be a support and to labor with me in prayer. Trials and suffering drive us to prayer, don't they? It's been said this way, for every one prayer that rises to God in days of prosperity, 10,000 prayers rise to God in days of adversity. Think about that. In times of prosperity, it may be that we are not driven to prayer the way that we should. Now, it should not be that way. We should be praying all the time. But isn't it true that when we face adversity, it does drive us to our knees? Abraham Lincoln said it this way. He said, I have often been driven to my knees in prayer because I have nowhere else to go. And isn't that true? When we go through times of adversity, times of affliction, times of trial, times of suffering, why does God permit it? Well, because it drives us to our knees. We start to seek after God, maybe perhaps in a way that we have not at previous times. But can I say this? May it not be that we are only seeking God in times of distress, but we also seek God in times of delight as well. Now, I had all intention on going through several more points in this message tonight, but I kind of felt like God had established, or I felt like tonight He's established this first part of our message where we can kind of come to an end here this evening. And I want to continue on with this, at least if the Lord would lay this on my heart for another opportunity where we preach, to continue to talk about this. But could you consider tonight, as we begin this new year, that there are going to be some times in which you're going to face suffering. It's inevitable, isn't it? We're going to have times in which we go through trials and we go through suffering this year. We're going to go through times of tribulation and trouble, as was mentioned in this passage, the words that were used. Let's understand, number one, and it's the only point we'll get to tonight, but let's understand, number one, that God permits it. And then let us consider the reasons why God permits it. Tonight, you may be sitting here this evening, and you might be in the midst, perhaps, of a valley. You might be in the midst, perhaps right now, of a trial or times of trouble or tribulation or suffering that you are facing right now. Would you learn to just say, God, I understand that you permit it. God, it's driven me to prayer. I'm seeking you like I know I should. Lord, I'm trusting in you. Lord, I'm understanding that I might be going through this moment of trial, this moment of suffering, so that I can be prepared to someday comfort somebody when they face the same situation or they face the same trial that I go through. Lord, help me to keep my focus on you. Isn't it amazing how trials help us to get our focus on God and our focus off of ourselves? Lord, help me to keep my focus on you. Help me to allow this trial to help me to see growth in my life. Would you consider tonight as we bring our message to a close that God permits suffering and He permits trials, and let us just trust Him. Let us see growth through times of trial and suffering that we'll face this year. And remember the verse that we used as a springboard. God has delivered us. God is delivering now, and He will continue to deliver. Boy, what a comfort to know that we can ask God, God, would you do it again? And I've gone through trials before, and I knew you were there. Your hand was there. You guided me. You led me. You directed me. And God, I need you to do it again. And as you go through the valleys and the trials and the sufferings of the year of 2022, would you trust God to be a God? He's permitted the trial, but just trust Him to be a God who will deliver you through it all. When we bring our message to a close, let's consider a Bible illustration we used earlier. We used the story of Job, didn't we? Remember, when it was all said and done with Job, there was a statement that was made about Job, wasn't there? In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He did not sin in the midst of his trial, and he never once charged God foolishly. Let's understand that God permits trials and He can deliver us. So let's ask the Lord. Lord, we know You've done it before. We ask You to do it again. Father, I pray that You would bless us as we move into our moment of invitation this evening. And Lord, my